ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Our next segment is our weekly ShareCare Healthmakers interview. The ShareCare Healthmakers series brings together the best minds in medicine, wellness, science, and technology to provide candid, thought-provoking insight into their respective fields. They also share their visions and concerns, from the future of healthcare to using technology to manage an aging population to how diet and exercise can alter our genes. Today we'll be listening to Dr. Robert Wachter, a professor and associate chairman of the Department of Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Wachter discusses solutions to improve healthcare and the patient-doctor relationship in American hospitals.
A hospitalist is a generalist physician. Most of them are general internists like me, who manage the care of hospitalized patients, really acting as the orchestra conductor for a hospitalized patient. In American medicine, the way we have previously organized hospital care was that your primary care doctor was expected to be your doctor if you were hospitalized. And at first blush, that seems really attractive. If, you know, my doctor was Marcus Welby and he or she has known me for 20 years and I get hospitalized, of course I'd want that doctor to be at my side. The problem is it doesn't work, and it doesn't work for a few reasons. One is that the average primary care doctor only has one or two patients a day now in the hospital. So there's no way that doctor can be there in the hospital all day long. That doctor's probably going to see me at 7 in the morning and go back to his or her office for the whole day, leaving me really stranded. And so as a patient in the hospital, I might be seeing four or five different specialists and physical therapists and nutritionists, but not my doctor, because my doctor's not there to organize things and keep and have a kind of unified game plan. The second problem is the world of hospital care has become extraordinarily complex and amazingly fast-paced. So if you come into the hospital, you know that there's a huge number of things that are happening in real time, consultants, tests, and there needs to be someone who's an expert in all of that, who knows how the hospital ecosystem works, knows to find the case manager when she's on break, keeps up on hospital care and the latest developments, goes to those conferences, and is there throughout the day and often throughout the night. And your primary care doctor can't possibly do that. And so about 15 years ago, I noticed that A, the old system wasn't working, and B, a new model of care was emerging, really quite organically, where in different parts of the country, this new kind of doctor was emerging, this generalist who was taking over as the orchestrator of hospital care. I wrote an article in the New England Journal that came up with this clunky term called hospitalist. It seemed to stick, and it's become the fastest growing specialty in the history of American medicine. So from a few hundred doctors that had this role 15 years ago, now there are about 40,000 of these doctors. So there are more hospitalists now than cardiologists. In my own group at the University of California, San Francisco, I have 60 of these doctors working for me. And what's been, I think, particularly gratifying and exciting, actually a few things. One is, we often think of the American healthcare system as being incredibly calcified and fossilized. Things don't change easily. But this is an example of how rapidly things can change. It was just something that a bunch of us thought this might actually be a better way of organizing care, and we developed it, but I think we made a good decision early on to not go around and say, we're sure this is better, but to say it should be tested. We should figure out whether, in fact, this works better. And all of the early research demonstrated that it cut the cost of care, it cut the lengths of hospital stay, and if anything, it improved the quality of care, it improved the safety of care. And the fear, I think, a lot of us had that patients would hate it. Because if you ask patients in a vacuum, do you want to see your regular doctor in the hospital? Of course, they say yes. But study after study said patients thought this was just fine because I think patients recognized that their regular doctor simply couldn't be there for them. I have a firm belief that the way we think of a great doctor is wrong. You know, whether your view of the great doctor is Dr. House, who's a Neanderthal and a completely dysfunctional person, but brilliant, that doesn't work. The brilliant part's nice. But if you can't be a team player, if you are intensely advocating for your patients, but at the same time pissing everybody off and not at all being a participant, in fact being a flamethrower in your system, at some point that's sort of romantic and fun and interesting and probably makes a good TV show. It does not work. It doesn't It doesn't lead to what we're trying to do, which is deliver great care and do it at a cost that doesn't bankrupt our country. And so that's a huge sea change. We now have to figure out who are the medical students of the future who want to have jobs like this. It's different than people thought, the job they thought they were getting into. How do we train people in residency? I'm chair of the American Board of Internal Medicine, so our job is to create this good housekeeping seal that says to an internal medicine doctor, you are board certified, and that means that you're a good doctor, you're competent. In the old days, we didn't have to test people on their communication skills, on their teamwork skills, on their leadership skills, on whether they knew how to interact with information technology systems. To me, we have to test people on all of that stuff because that defines the good doctor every bit as much as whether you can, whether you're brilliant and you can make this incredibly obscure diagnosis. Testing that is harder than the things we've tested in the past. And so we have to figure out how you not only train people to do all these things, but how to assess whether they have those competencies. If the doctors say, that's not what I do for a living, I'm a doctor, all I do is I take care of the individual patients, fixing the system, developing checklists, improving the information technology system, that's some job for a hospital administrator. That's a huge cop-out. Because, in fact, when the hospital administrators try to take that on and the doctors don't buy into it and don't participate, then the result doesn't work because you really need the deep knowledge of the clinicians of the way the system works. And so then we moan about it. We say, oh, they don't really understand our work. But we made our bed. We weren't involved. It's my belief, and I think increasingly a core belief in internal in medicine generally, that the doctor of the future, the great doctor of the future, has to embrace this notion of systems thinking, that we need to be experts in not only traditional doctoring, but also in systems engineering. And one of the fun things for us about the hospitalist field was here was this new specialty emerging 15-ish years ago in an era where it was starting to become quite clear that the system was broken, needed to be improved, and doctors needed to get involved. So one of the things we really did was position the field as being not just a new specialty, but a new type of specialty where the physicians saw their role as having this duality to it. So for hospitalists who are training to be hospitalists, many of them are doing an additional year or two of fellowship. We run one, there are many around the country. And they're actually not learning very much more clinical hospital medicine. They've finished their training and they're pretty good at taking care of patients with septic shock or severe infections or gastrointestinal bleeding. What they don't know enough about is leadership, systems thinking, teamwork, building information technology systems. And we believe that these are absolutely core competencies, not just for hospitals, for all good doctors in the future. In the old days, doctors were trained to prize autonomy over all else. That was what we wanted. We wanted to hang up a shingle and be a doctor. That was what a doctor was. I haven't heard a medical student for the last 10 years say to me, that's what I want to do. I want to work as a solo practitioner out in the community. They're perfectly accepting of the idea that they might be an important or maybe even the most important member of a team, but they are going to be on a team and they have to work together with teams and use tools, use computers. Systems are really important. They completely buy that. And so the pessimism and the inspiration actually we need for the older people. The younger people, I think, are a relatively easy sell. They understand that the way we've organized the healthcare system and the way we've trained doctors and nurses seemed right 30 years ago, but doesn't work anymore. And they completely embrace this new model. And inspiring them is not only easy, I actually find that they inspire me. It makes my work easier when I meet with them. It is a generational shift. And I will say to them sometimes, folks, your life is going to be different professionally than mine was, because we as a system have decided that we have to figure out a way of delivering the highest quality, safest, most reliable, most satisfying care at the lowest cost. And they look at me like I'm crazy and they say, what were you people trying to do? Duh, of course that's what we're trying to do. It's perfectly natural to them. And the idea that there are technology tools or you have to work as teams to create that kind of outcome, that's perfectly natural to them. They completely accept it.
That was Dr. Robert Watchter from ShareCare's Healthmakers Collection. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.